We're going to our lesson today. If you turn to the book of Joel, after the book of Hosea, Daniel, Hosea in the Old Testament is the book of Joel, and you will be rejoicing. We are trying to look into move from this level here, trying to move from book from book to look for Jesus in the Old Testament, Christ in the Old Testament, even though this morning we found the incarnation, the pre-incarnation of Jesus in many aspects. This is just to find a lesson about Jesus in the Bible. In the book of Joel, the book of Daniel, Hosea, Joel, very small book, the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. Now, the topic for discussion, the introduction to our series is a serious progression. In the book of Genesis, we found Jesus, the seed of the women. In the book of Exodus, we found Jesus as the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, we found Jesus as the high priest or as the offering. In the book of Numbers, we have Jesus as the brazen altar. Remember the brazen altar that was lifted up. In the book of Deuteronomy, God tell Moses, Moses tell the people, God will raise another prophet. And so the prophet of Israel. In the book of Joshua, the savior of our soul as Joshua conquered the land. In the book of Judges, the judge and the lawgiver when Israel became a nation. In the book of Ruth, remember that wonderful love story, the kinsman redeemer. Then in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, if you read the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you find 72 times Samuel pray. And so there Jesus is a picture, Samuel is a picture of Jesus and the intercession. And then in the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles, which in the original are one package, over there, the reigning king, one king after the other, showing the power of Christ. In the book of Ezra, he was a scribe, and Jesus is the faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, he built the walls of Jerusalem again, and so the builder of the walls. In the book of Esther, Esther has an uncle by the name Mordecai, who saved Israel by talking to Esther, and Jesus is greater than Mordecai. In the book of Psalms, we choose, in the book of Job, we have the healer of our soul. If you are down, you read the book of Job entirely, and you find particular statements here and there will relate to your problems, and will lift you up. In the book of Psalms, we choose Psalm 23, and Jesus is the shepherd of Israel. In the book of Proverbs, at the very first verse, a book has been written for wisdom, and so Jesus, the wisdom of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we took the very last verse of the book, the fear of God, remember? In the book of the Song of Solomon, that great love story, he is the bridegroom, a picture of the bridegroom. And Isaiah, no doubt about it. You read Isaiah and you see the Messiah. So the Messiah of Israel. In Jeremiah, the king prophet. And in Ezekiel, Jehovah of the Old Testament, clearly seen 23 times. In Daniel, King of Kings, and we saw last time that we met Hosea, which is the eternal husband. Hosea was forced to marry a prostitute as a picture of God to Israel. The Israel was doing sinful acts, but God will love them to the end. Now we come today to the topic discussion of tonight, which is the book of Joel, and that is the book of Joel and his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a general information always, and it's good to do this for your sake so that you know. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Luke in chapter 24 and in verse 27. And you will see here that Jesus is talking to two disciples. We have done this over and over, but it's good to do it again and again so that you know why we have this series of studies in the evening, seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. And Luke Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 27, Jesus talking to two disciples who were discouraged after the death of Christ. In order to really help them, Jesus said, I'm beginning at Moses, and that Moses, how many books wrote Moses wrote? Five. The first five books and one psalm. Do you know what psalm he wrote? Psalm? Start with nine. 90. Psalm 90. The only psalm written by Moses. So five books and one psalm. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the thing concerning what? Concerning himself. And so when we relate the scripture, we only have one purpose, is to show the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after he left the disciples who were enlightened, in verse 44, the same chapter, and in verse 44, he's talking now to the 11 disciples who were meeting together, arguing who saw Jesus and who did not saw Jesus and so on. And then the Bible says in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, in the prophets, in the R 18, and in the Psalms. And in the Hebrew Bible, the word Psalms include any other book that is not prophecy or Moses' book. And so Jesus pictured himself in the entire scripture in order to give understanding to people. Go to the next book, the book of John, the next book, Gospel, in chapter 5, and in verse 39, and Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And these Pharisees are doctors of the law, professors of the doctrine, lawyers in the Word of God. And he said these words to them, search the scripture, verse 39, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Again, to two disciples, he said, the scripture testify of me. To 11 disciples, he said, the Bible is about me. And to the doctors of the law, he said, the Bible is about me. The verse that I like most is, if you go to the book of Hebrews, by the end of your Bible, you find the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and in verse 7. There to me is the verse that one day I was reading the scripture, I would say, easy 15 years ago, and this verse really clicked in my face. And we have here in church the evening service for that year on Wednesday night on the life of Jesus. Here it is, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. This is a quotation of Psalm 45. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. If you have not the King James Bible, maybe say in the scroll. But in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will of God. Now, the Bible is a great volume. They have 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 in the new one. So there are 66 volumes right here in the Bible. And they all, without mistake, they're all about one person, about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we seek for Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, let's go to the specific information about the Lord Jesus, okay? In the book of Joel. And so you turn your Bible to the book of Joel, and there we're going to have the specific information. Now, I have to teach you something here. The name of the book. Now, Joel is made in this way. Now, here's the J, all right? And here is the letter O. You got it easy in English. Here's the letter O, and this is the real O. It's called the Hamath in Hebrew. You have a yod, a dot, and an angle, and these two are part of one. This is yod, and you know these words. This is the word A, all right, the letter A, but with a little dot changed to A, and this is the L. So remember, you read right to left. Very easy. Your eyes are easier this way. And so you say Yo-El, all right? And El, Yah is Jehovah that we studied this morning. And El is the word God, remember? And so now the name Yoel, Yael, is Jehovah, is God. So again, another confirmation. We studied this morning about the prerequisite, and the sermon was, let's see Jehovah as God. Remember this morning? And I could go to this one, but that would be unfair to those who, you have to believe my understanding of the language, but we saw it through all the scripture. But the name of the book is Jehovah is God. And so Joel, Jehovah is God. All right, the second information is the key verse, and it's found in Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 13. Let's take a look. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12 and verse 13. Here's the key verse and the key center message of the book. We read in Joel 2, 13, and rend your heart, and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, is slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. And so repentance is the message. The book of Joel was written in a time which Israel forget about God when everything went well. And so now God is saying to them, rend your heart, not your garments. People were very religious. They went to church and they rend their garments and they did all the spectacular liturgy. Somebody asked me this morning, these churches do not have liturgy. No, we don't have an exterior liturgy. Our liturgy is the liturgy of the heart. I was able to show them Romans, who said, your circumcision is not the one made by hand, but the circumcision made in your heart, and so on. And man have created that kind of liturgy, kind of drama that shows you how repentant we are, but there is no repentance in the heart. And so Joel, God, who sees the heart, said, Joel, tell the people that they need to repent in their heart. Now, amazing enough, I find out that the first words that came out of Jesus, the first words that Jesus said when he preached were repentance. Let's look to Matthew's in chapter 4 of the gospel. First gospel in our Bible is Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Remember, in chapter 4, we have at the beginning the temptation of the Lord Jesus, and he passed that with flying colors, and now he's ordained to the ministry, and we read in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach. These are the first words. What did he preach? And he began to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There are some people who are called hyper-Calvinistic. They say, you cannot tell the people repent because they are dead. Well, Jesus did. Jesus did. And he knew who's going to believe and who's not. But he did. He offered repentance. So that the responsibility is always in your heart and not in the hands of God. And so repentance is the key of the book of Joel. Repent, people. And amazing enough, there was not written to Gentiles. The book was written to Israel, which is a picture of the church of God in the Old Testament. And we're saying to the people of God, don't fool around and have a heart that you think you are a Christian. You show that you are a Christian, but you are not. Repent, because there is hope for you. Now, that's a gracious God that we have. Even when we are wrong, God said, please repent, and I will forgive you. What a great God we have. Now, the reason for this is repent because here is the key thought. There is a day called the Day of the Lord. And if you read the book, you will see that over and over and over and over. So that dominates the thought of the writer. Look at the warning of the Day of the Lord. Let's go to Joel chapter 1 and in verse 15. Joel chapter 1 and verse 15. He said, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. In other words, he said, repent, because the day of the Lord is at hand. In other words, God is going to come one day. It's going to be a glorious day. And what are you going to do that day? After that day, there is no hope. And so here is the warning. You need to repent because the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, in the book of Joel already, the Bible said the day of the Lord is at hand. And there are some people who try to date the coming of the Lord, how unwise they are, when in the book of Joel, before even Christ, the Bible said the day of the Lord is at hand. See, you know the reason. Psalm 90 said that for the Lord, 1,000 years is one day, and one day, 1,000 years. God is timeless. So he can say, the day of the Lord is at hand, and it's 10,000 years from now, but because he's timeless. So we cannot trying to figure out the mind of God. As a matter of fact, the book of Romans says, who will know the mind of God? Who will know? And so the warning is, repent, because the day of the Lord is at hand. You cannot play with that day. You cannot say, well, the Lord is coming, that I live like this and then I repent later. Because you can have a car accident, you can have a heart attack, you can have anything. And then the day of the Lord have come for you that moment. All right? Now, look at the advice in Joel. Repent, because here is the advice. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Now, for those who do not know, Zion is another name in Hebrew, taken from the Aramaic for the city of Jerusalem. Blow ye the trumpet in Jerusalem, in Zion. And Abraham said that Jerusalem is a picture of that great city in heaven. And so, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and that means in the house of God then, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Why? For the day of the Lord cometh. For it is night. It is at hand. Now look at the urgency. In other words, tell the house of God. Now if we tell this to unbelievers, they laugh on you. If you talk to unbelievers and say, the Lord is coming. Oh, come on. Who is it? Jesus Christ is coming again. Oh, forget it. They laugh at you. Resurrected? Oh, come on. There is no resurrection and so on. I don't expect any unbeliever to pay attention. And so the command is to the house of God. Please behave yourself in a manner that is worthy to God, because the Lord is coming. It is night. The day of the Lord is at hand. We need to live with that urgency that the Lord is coming today. Remarkable. Remarkable. Now, here it is, the reality. Joel chapter 2, now in verse 11. Here is the reality. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Now we sing about the coming of the Lord with joy. And here the Bible says it's terrible. It's terrible for those who are living in sin. Let's put one hand in Joel and move your Bible to the book of Revelation in chapter 6 and verse 17 to get an idea why he say that expression here in 2:11, the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. In Revelation 6:17 said, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? In other words, you will be heading on against God. If you are not with God, you're going to be against God, and you are head on with God. And not with a loving God, with the wrath of God. And so the advice is very clear. You need to repent, because the reality is either the day of the Lord come, the day you are face to face with him, he's not the loving God who offered Jesus to save you. He's the judge who is mad because you have rejected his salvation. Amazing. And then in the book of Joel also you find out that also it is Christ's day. If you go back to Joel chapter 2 in verse 31, it looks like you are reading the New Testament over there. Look at what verse 31 says. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. If you turn your Bible now and put one hand in Joel and go to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 24, you know, the chapter that talks about the coming of the Lord, verses 29 to 31, you find a remarkable scripture that looks like we are reading Joel again. Remember, the sun shall be turned to darkness. We read in Matthew 24, and in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. You know that what Joel says? And the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other end. If you're a child of God, you will never be missed when the Lord comes. But you see, he's coming with power from heaven. The stars, the constellation is falling apart. I love to read the science section of the newspapers and the Mercury and the USA and so on. And I was reading yesterday that a science said that we need to be prepared because in 10,000 years, constellations will fall apart and will come directly to the earth. And we should have some missiles prepared against these heavenly constellations to destroy them on the sky. I was just laughing, you know. I said, if that happened, that means that the Lord is coming. That the constellations, who is so holding by the word of his power, remember, the whole heavens, holding by the word of the power of God, is falling apart. You can have all the missiles you want. He's coming, and that will not stop God. And so that got me right to write to the editor of the Mercury and said, I do have the missiles already study and prepare, and this information is secret, but I can reveal it anytime you want it. You will see, they will write back to me. It's true. The only way that you can really be untouched by that, remember Matthew 24:31, and he will gather his people. Before the destruction, his people will be with him. And remember what the Bible said in Thessalonians? Those who die will be the first one, goes into the helicopter, going into heaven. And then we go in Air Force number 2. Amazing, amazing how precious it is. Well, the message of the book of Job is a message that give us hope. And I tell you why. Look at chapter 2, verse 32, what the scripture said. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, here's the word that we studied this morning, the word Lord, Jehovah, shall be delivered from his, in Mount Zion. Oh. Oh. And I want to say this, I don't think anyone here is from the other camp, but this morning we have people from the other camp, I show them this. For anyone who shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem, that's the church, that these people said. That's Jerusalem, the church. And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Woo! Some people said, you have to leave the church today. It's very bad. There is no gospel in the church. And right here, the book of Joel said, when the Lord comes, you have to be in the church. Because there is where there is deliverance. You see that? Jerusalem, deliverance. As the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. In Zion. In the church. Let me read it again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance. In the church. The church that preaches the gospel, that's the church that brings deliverance. It's in the church. You don't want to have the gospel in the newspaper preached. You never saw a page in the Mercury saying, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the editor. Never. I wrote to them and said, will you publish this free of charge? Whole page, first page, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's signed the editor. And they never answered. They think I lost the whole thing. But I tell you, that's what the scripture says. See, in the church, in the stores, they don't want to preach Christ. They want your money. You buy stuff so they can make money. It's in the church that the preaching is. And I understand some churches have become a little bit out of line in what they do. And in spite of that, if they read the Bible, you're going to get a blessing. You see, it's in the church. It's not out of the church, but it's in the church. Now look at Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Joel is an actual up-to-date book. It's a book who said the day of the Lord is a horrible day. But tell me, class, for whom? For the unbelievers. The unbelievers had no idea what is coming up. No idea. But we believers, remember what Thessalonians said, well, we are not in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 said, for we are not in darkness. And we know. And so the day of the Lord is at hand. And so Jesus is pictured as the day of the Lord. Judgment for those who believe not. Salvation for those who believe. How precious. How precious. How consistent is the message of the gospel. And remember, was given 200 years before Christ to Israel. And what God said, the day of the Lord is at hand. And I say it to you, the day of the Lord is at hand. Anything could happen to us. I was 2-3 days ago eating here in Mary Callender, in the counter. I'm alone, so I go in, I don't have to wait. And somebody was eating in shock. And like this, don't know what to do. So I do what my mother did, bah, in the back, you know. The high groom went over there and throw whatever he had. And he said, thank you. He was his face on the deck, on the counter, everything. I said, Lord, help me. Boom, you know, as I can. And the guy, I think he was afraid, throw everything. And he can't breathe again. You know, he said, thank you. Well, some of us are saving that way. We don't want to believe in God. I want to save you anyway. And he hits us well and saves us. We're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful we are the children of God. And we are not afraid for the day of the Lord. May God bless us. Thank you, Father, for the lesson tonight. We are not afraid of the day of the Lord. Yes, there are 5 warnings and 1 blessing in the book. But the warnings are directed to the church of God, to those people who come to church and play Christians. They think they are Christians. They think they're going to fool somebody, and the only person they fool is themselves. And so, Father, we pray for mercy and grace that everyone here and everyone who listens to this CD later on will believe in the name of Jesus and will believe that in the church, in Zion, in Jerusalem, is the message preached and is there the salvation of God offered. And Jesus, we thank you. We pray for this coming week, for your blessings and protections, for your strength in our life as we leave the week day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.